So we have a treat today. We're going to become clitterate with Dr. Lori Mintz, who is an award-winning college professor and has written a fabulous book, which we are in love with. It's called Becoming Clitterate. Listen up. Hello again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. So today we have a really special guest. Adam is not with me, but it's just myself and Dr. Lori Mintz, who is a professor, and she teaches the psychology of human sexuality to hundreds of students a year at the University of Florida. And she's had over 20 years of experience working with private clients as well on sexual issues. Dr. Mintz has received numerous professional awards and is a fellow with the American Psychological Association. She's published over 50 research studies, writes a Psychology Today blog, which I read for the record, Dr. Mintz, and has been quoted in many outlets, including Cosmo, Women's Day, Prevention, Women's Health, Men's Health, BuzzFeed, CNN, Oprah. Ah, the list goes on, and the Huffington Post. And you can find her at drlaurimintz.com, and it's spelled the same way I spell my name. Welcome, Dr. Mintz.
Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to talk to you.
Oh, we are so excited to have you. Our producer, our intern producer, is just thrilled too. She follows you, and we're just both thrilled with it. First, we want to ask you, what does this term mean, becoming clitterate?
Well, it is a play on the word literate.
Of course.
And it's, I want to say I didn't coin the term. It's a very clever term, and it was coined by Ian Kerner, who wrote a wonderful book called She Comes First, A
yep.
Thinking Man's Guide to Pleasuring a Woman.
And it's great book, too, Ian. We love you, too.
Yeah, it's such a great book. And he was so generous in letting me use the term because clitoracy, being clitorate, benefits both women and men, and really becoming clitorate means being educated about women's most important sexual organ, which is the clitoris, and elevating it into both cultural and individual consciousness. It means valuing women's sexual pleasure.
Absolutely. And I think our listeners do value women's sexual pleasure, so they are thrilled to get the inside scoop on this. Can you tell us just why did you write this book? Why, you know, how did you come across this as such a need for study? Was it your students as you were pulling them and interviewing them and being with them that you realized there was an orgasm gap?
Yes, that is exactly how this book came about. Is I teach human sexuality, as you mentioned, to hundreds of students a year. And through teaching this class, I became aware of the orgasm gap, or the fact that women are having substantially fewer orgasms than men when they have partnered sexual encounters. And I started really understanding the reasons for the cultural gap, I mean the orgasm gap, and that these are cultural reasons. So they are, it's not because women's orgasms are elusive or difficult, it's because of what we've been taught, a whole bunch of cultural lies about sexuality in general and women's sexuality in specific. And so I started teaching my students, I started teaching to that knowledge, and I would get notes from both women and men, things like, thanks to your class, I'm orgasmic, or thanks to your class, my girlfriend is orgasmic. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I want to take this knowledge and spread it beyond my classroom and more broadly so that I could help the world become clitterate and women and men have sexual pleasure, enhance sexual pleasure.
That's fantastic. Our intern producer said that you do studies basically on your students where they have anonymous replies using like those clickers that text you and reply to your questions in class. And that's sort of how you get the data, which you then analyze. Is that right?
That is right. So all through the class, and it's really so much fun, and it's the students' favorite part of the class, I'll ask them questions. Yeah, they love it. I love it. I'll ask them questions, like, based on, you know, whatever topic we're studying. They'll reply, and then I'll show them how they compare to the research. So,
That's neat.
Yeah.
And such a good early education.
Yes. And a lot of the data in the book about the orgasm gap, and most importantly about women's most reliable route to orgasm, comes from the data in my class, as well as other people's data.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us about the data, how women orgasm, and tell us what you've learned.
So what I have learned is that the vast majority of women, overwhelming majority of women, need clitoral stimulation to orgasm, that most of the nerves that women need to orgasm are on the outside, not the inside. And basically, I mean, there's a lot of research out there basically saying how many women orgasm from intercourse, but my data is different. I ask people, what's your, not do you orgasm from intercourse or not, but what's your most reliable route to orgasm? And only across thousands and thousands of students across many years, only 4% say penetration, thrusting alone. And the rest...
Okay, wait. You got to say that for my audience one more time. Say it again. Say it louder.
Loud and clear. Only 4% of women say that a thrusting penis alone is their most reliable route to orgasm.
Right. And of course, it's because the nerve endings, right, are in the clitoris on the outside, as you said, of the vulva, not the inside of the vagina. It makes so much sense if you're a woman. But I think that porn and the culture really tells both men and women that it's not that way. What percentage of women orgasm with their partners? And, you know, tell us about that.
Right. Well, if it's okay, first let me just underscore what you just said about porn. It basically, what you see is the man puts his penis in the woman's vagina with very little warm up, and she's instantly having an orgasm. And in real life, that's not how it works. And we've all been fed this lie. But instead, there are some women that orgasm most reliably from clitoral stimulation alone, oral sex, manual stimulation, a vibrator. I think about 34% is what I found. And then about 43% say their most reliable route is coupling penetration and clitoral stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different ways to do that, which I'm happy to get into.
Yeah, tell us. Absolutely.
So there's the sort of way where you get indirect stimulation, where you rub your clitoris against your partner's penis or
pelvis
again, as you are having intercourse. And that works for some women, but for some it's just not direct enough.
Right.
So for those women, you know, having them reach their hand down and stimulate themselves, there is nothing wrong with that, or use a vibrator on themselves during intercourse, or there's even some amazing couple vibrators, wearable vibrators. For example, there's cock rings that go on the penis that have a clitoral vibrator extending to it. So that is one way to get clitoral stimulation during intercourse. But I also want to really emphasize, it's really okay not to both come during intercourse. It's really okay to have a turn-taking model.
I think so many men are taught that they've failed if they don't bring her to orgasm through sexual intercourse, which makes them often try to last so long that her tissue is actually rubbed raw, you know, and it isn't a pleasant experience for her. And for him, there's so much pressure. Oh my gosh, I have to stay hard for so long to have her reach orgasm. And of course, that's problematic for him too, that kind of pressure.
Absolutely. And that's why this turn-taking model, I think it works so beautifully, because you can immerse in your own pleasure have an orgasm. Your partner can immerse in his own pleasure, have an orgasm, and there's much less like pressure and performance. So, mm-hmm. and it can be, you know, it can be oral sex where she comes and then intercourse where he comes, or it can be enough fooling around where she's aroused enough for penetration. He has an orgasm and then they use the vibrator on her. And either way, that turn-taking model is such a beautiful way for many couples to take the pressure off a man's penis to perform the impossible.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So the turn-taking, I mean, that's brilliant. It just, I think that so many couples would be so relieved and would enjoy the experience more if they thought of it that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because along with these, you know, false images of women orgasming during intercourse, then they also orgasm at the same time as their partner.
Of course, right.
And
I'd love to know the stats on that, which are, what, 0.04%?
Exactly. And it's very hard to be mindful and immersed in your own pleasure when you're trying to, like, time an orgasm. It's just antithetical to having an orgasm, which is just fully immersing in your own sensations, in your own pleasure. And I have seen this turn-taking model really, really enhance couples' sex lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I just highly recommend it. Now, of course, if a woman really loves coupling penetration and clitoral stimulation, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that either, but also really try not to time it like, oh, we have to do it at the same time. It can still be somewhat of a turn-taking model. You can still be immersed in your own pleasure.
That's right. That's right. Can you tell us how the gender inequality came about? I mean, what are the cultural issues that have affected us, maybe besides porn?
Yes, and this has been for a very long time.
Sure.
An overvaluing of intercourse and a devaluing of clitoral stimulation. And some of it stems back to, procreation. Male ejaculation and orgasm are more essential, obviously, or are essential for procreation, whereas female orgasm isn't, but that doesn't fully account for the weight with which the female orgasm has been sort of discarded or not valued or not really, or mm-hmm. a lot of ignorance surrounding it. And it goes all the way back to Freud, who said that clitoral orgasms were immature and vaginal orgasms were mature. And he went so far as to say that as a woman matures, she'll transfer, because he knew about the importance of the clitoris, that she'll transfer her good feelings from her clitoris to her vagina. And that's just absurd. That's like saying when you grow up, you'll start eating with your nose instead of your mouth. We don't change our biology as we age.
Yeah, our anatomy doesn't change, it turns out.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so he...
But I imagine, too, that actually the inequity extended even before Freud, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
oh, yes.
I don't think that... I think that this has been, in some cultural history, you know, scary for women to become sexual beings and to have power in and of themselves. There's been all kinds of things that have led to this inequity.
Absolutely. It's we have a huge, long history of being fearful of, ignoring, devaluing women's sexuality and women's sexual pleasure. And we are, you know, this, even if I really love looking at the language we use when we talk about sex, and you really see it there, that you really see that we use the word sex and intercourse as if they were one and the same.
Interchangeably, right.
Yes.
Exactly. Did you have sex? And, you know, I often ask women, do you climax during sex? Forgetting that they're going to hear that as, do you climax during sexual intercourse? And they stammer and apologize. Well, no, but if he touches me, I do. You know, it's like,
exactly.
Oh, that's fantastic. You mean you have sex and you climax? That's great.
Right. And so by equating those words, we're saying that the way men most reliably orgasm is sex, and it's not. for women.
It's
and
not.
Even those magazines articles, the best position, the best sex position for her orgasm, and they don't even mention the clitoris at all.
Right, right. Oh, it's tragic. Okay, let's come right back. I want to know your favorite nickname for the clitoris when we come back.
Okay.
We are just a few days away from fall. Thank goodness we need that relief here in the South with all our heat and humidity. But I've been so busy between my gardening and getting ready to plant my bulbs that I really just, in my free time, I don't want to cook, which is why I love Daily Harvest. You know, Daily Harvest delivers thoughtfully sourced, chef-crafted food. And it's built on fruits and vegetables, which I love and I always need to eat more of. And it can be prepared in less than 5 minutes. It stays fresh for you in your freezer. You can fill your box with 65 different options. Each Daily Harvest cup takes one step to prepare, and you can add what's best for you, like almond milk to a smoothie. All of it is harvested at peak season for flavor. And the best part is Daily Harvest single-serving cups are the ultimate grab-and-go meal or snack. So go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code 4PLAY. Don't forget that to get $25 off your first box. That promo code 4PLAY for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com, dailyharvest.com. So we want to remind all of you that we are thankful for the way you've shared the podcast. We continue to grow. It is our greatest honor when you share with a friend the work that we're doing in trying to help people so that they can make positive changes and strengthen their marriages and their partnerships. And I think the last thing we'd like to say is both of us are doing intensives. So if you would like to work with us, let us know and call our centers. You can find us at foreplayradiosextherapy.com.
And if you like what we're doing and want to help support us, we'd love for you to rate and review us on iTunes. So thanks for listening.
I'm excited to have a new sponsor. I want to tell you guys about this cool new app, Audible Escape, that has unlimited love stories to help you get in the mood. They've got some sweet and really sexy stuff too. You know, love stories have that ability to just whisk you away no matter where you are, whether you're driving home from work or running errands or doing chores. All that can just fade into the background when you're listening to the Happily Ever After. Just lose yourself in the most popular love stories and see if escaping from the everyday with a steamy romance doesn't set you up well for your partner. If you love love, you'll love Audible Escape. Join the community and listen for free for 1 month and just get lost in unlimited love stories. It's a must try for rom-com fans. Unlimited listening to love stories for just $12.95. So download the app and listen to all these sexy stories and get in the mood with www.audible.com/foreplayradio. Remember to put the radio after foreplay. www.audible.com/foreplayradio. And there's a link for it in our show notes. We are here with Dr. Mintz, the author of Becoming Clitorate. Please run out and get that. It is on Amazon and bookstores everywhere. Why Orgasm Equality Matters and How to Get It. And Lori, you are about to tell us your favorite nickname for the clitoris and why. Tell us about that.
Well, that is such a fun question. I love talking about that. And in the book, I have a section on linguistic analysis, and I talk about, you know, how we use the word sex and intercourse as if they're the same. But I also realized in writing that we have more nicknames for the penis than almost any other organ in the human body, and we have very few nicknames for the clitoris. And in fact, a lot of people are really uncomfortable saying mm-hmm. the word clit or clitoris. So I thought, well, we need a nickname for it to make it more comfortable,
more familiar, more fun. What's the nickname?
Well, I have two. Okay. When I started thinking about this, I started thinking we call the penis by men's names.
Yes.
Dick, you know.
right.
You know, and
Peter.
Peter, right. And it gives it like a life unto itself. And mm-hmm. So I thought, well, let's find a woman's name. And when I did that, the name Tori pop out of clitoris.
Tori, I love it.
So I love the word Tori, but then I started talking to young women, and they were like, no, 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 because I know a Tori, and I couldn't use that word. And so then I came up with the term Cleo, which in Greek means glory and fame, and I thought, well, there we go. Let's call her Cleo. And then
love
in
it.
The end, I decided it doesn't really matter what we call her at all. Let's just start talking about her loud and proud.
That is wonderful. I love that. Cleo or Tori, either of those great names. I think, too, you know, it's a way that it's an integration of your body, the way that men name themselves and are so playful. And I think that's what you're getting at, is women need to integrate, own their clitoris with a name or thinking about it or being able to talk about it.
Exactly, because what is not named doesn't exist or isn't attended to.
And what we don't, what is not existent, not attended to, is somehow or another covered in shame and badness, right?
Right. And it goes hand in hand, no pun intended, about how we call our entire genitals a vagina.
Right. And it's not.
That's not.
There's only one part that's the vagina. Oh, I'm
right.
So glad. Okay, talk about that, because I hear that all the time.
So the vagina is the hole, in the cavity,
the canal,
where
right?
Penises go in and babies come out. The rest is called the vulva, and it includes the inner lips and the clitoris and the mons pubis, which is that kind of fatty area above, right above the genitals or on the genitals. And those are all of the parts that are just chock full of touch-sensitive nerve endings. And that's touching the vulva is what brings most women to orgasm. But when we call our entire genitals a vagina, we're linguistically erasing the parts of ourselves that give us the most pleasure, and we're naming our entire genitals by the part that gives our partners, our male partners, the most pleasure, not ourselves.
That's true. And I just kind of like the word linguistic. I just want to linger there for a minute. You know, it's kind of a sexy word too, like cunnilingus, right? Talking
yes.
to the clitoris. Yeah, it's sexy. Okay, can you talk about why it's important for women to really take pleasure into their own hands and explore their bodies and learn what they like so that, you know, they can learn how to orgasm?
Absolutely. The most essential step to orgasming with a partner is masturbation, is taking matters into your own hands. Because unless you know what you like, you won't be able to teach a partner that. And so many times, we know, here's another really wonderful statistic. When women pleasure themselves, 99% stimulate themselves externally.
Right.
Sometimes alone, sometimes coupled with penetration. Yet with male partners, they just assume, oh, I don't need that. I'll just orgasm from penetration alone. But no, the essential step is getting the same kind of stimulation alone. So finding that out by yourself, what turns you on, what brings you to orgasm, and then being able to show or tell your partner, that's the essential piece of the puzzle.
That's how a woman communicates and becomes orgasmic with her partner, right? Being able to show, being able to talk about it and tell. Is that, would you say that's what's needed, or what else might be needed?
So there's several things that are needed. Knowing what you like through self-pleasure, feeling that you are equally entitled to pleasure
with
your partner, being able to be, you know, not up in your head and, do I look okay? Is it taking too long?
Have I got the laundry folded?
Yeah, exactly.
What am I making for the kids' lunch tomorrow?
Exactly.
Stop already.
Yes. And so all of those are ingredients, but to me, the essential ingredients are truly knowing what you like and then being able to communicate that and then fully immerse in your own pleasure and feel entitled to that.
I think what you're saying is so important. And what would you say to the partner who says, I am desperate to please her, but she won't tell me what she likes? I don't even think she knows what she likes. I think she's never masturbated. And can you speak to his frustration when he's really a guy who does want her to have equal pleasure and does want her to have orgasm, but it seems to happen by chance versus with intention because she won't talk about it?
Right. And I talk to so many men like this, and there's been a lot of like male bashing about women's lack of orgasm, and I don't buy that at all. I mean, most of the men I talk to desperately want to please their partner.
Me too.
It's so important to them. They may sometimes be misguided from our cultural lies about what that is.
Yes.
Or in this case you're talking about, their partner may not know or be able to say. So I would say to that person, have a sit-down talk, not in bed, not during sex, just a, I would like to talk to you about something where there's time and space, and really own your desire to please her and say, I really love you. I really love having sex with you. I really want you to have pleasure. I really want you to tell me what you need. And if you don't know, like maybe we could figure it out together, or maybe we could even go to a sex therapist or read some books or, read some books together or watch some videos. There's a great site called OMG Yes that talks about this, that shows this. And I would love us to get comfortable together so that I can bring you to orgasm, I can be part of your orgasm, and that so we both can share in this wonderful experience together.
And I love that. And again, Lori Mintz's book, Becoming Clitorate. Could you tell us, though, maybe just a little bit before we let you go, about the reasons some women have shame about this and are unable to kind of explore their bodies somehow or another, feel like it's bad or wrong, and haven't done that work, which is, I think, essential, right? I talk on the podcast sometimes about developing the erotic self. This is not something that we grew up knowing we had to do. We thought sex was going to be natural, right? And if it's not natural, it's not good. But really, there's a tremendous amount of growth, personal growth, that needs to happen, I think, especially as women, to own our sexuality. But what about the woman that really struggles? Can you talk about that?
Yes. I mean, and there's so many roots to that. I mean, sometimes there's body shame, not knowing mm-hmm. what other vulvas look like, thinking that something's wrong with yours when vulvas come in all shapes and sizes. A lot of times there's religious or cultural pieces, being told that sex is dirty or touching yourself is dirty. You know, so many negative messages. And so whatever is holding that person back, to really look at that. And, you know, sometimes the most difficult one is religiously instilled beliefs. And I have a story that I often tell clients that helps with that. I had a client I was working with who was never having orgasms, and I talked to her about her clitoris and how it's the only organ in the human body designed for pleasure. And she went and she read a book. I don't know if this quote was from the book or not, but she came back the next week and she said, if I have an organ in my body that's designed just for pleasure, this must be God's gift for me, and I'm going to use it.
Woohoo! I think that is awesome. That is great. You know, I too have a story, a woman who was having sex 3 days a week with her husband for 12 years, never had an orgasm. And they were with a strict kind of religious group. And she talked about it. And, you know, I prescribed some exercises. And he was all on board. He was very much pro-orgasm for her. But they were both kind of rigid and hung up. And about the third week, she came in and she said, as we were leaving, she said, what about a vibrator? I said, oh, yes, you can use a vibrator too. You know, but I hadn't even thought to suggest that because of the rigidity of her background. But apparently the vibrator was outside of the sacred texts. So that was permissible, whereas masturbation was not permissible.
What a great story, right? Because a vibrator, you're not touching yourself. The object is touching you.
Yes. Yes.
And we know that so many women's orgasms come much easier with a vibrator. And back to your question about men's endorsement and acceptance and encouragement of a partner's vibrator use is really related to how satisfied a woman can be.
Yes. And can you say something? You know, men sometimes get anxious about that. You know, what if I'm replaced? What if she doesn't need me? What if she has pleasure all by herself? And then I'm just not necessary in bed anymore. I think that can be a real fear. Or I'm inadequate, right? It goes back to my penis is somehow or another a vibrator and therefore inadequate. But somehow or another they get anxious about replacement or fear of shame for not being enough.
Absolutely. Well, I think it goes back to first realizing that your penis isn't the source of her orgasm to start with.
Really, ever.
Ever. So let that go. And then think about the fact that a vibrator doesn't laugh. It doesn't say I love you. It doesn't cuddle. It doesn't kiss. It just gives women the intense stimulation and the type of stimulation that they need. I use the metaphor of if you went swimming with your partner in a pool and you had like a little floaty or raft and you played and you swam and you got off the raft and on the raft and had a great day, you wouldn't go and tell your girlfriend, oh my, I had a wonderful afternoon with my raft and my boyfriend or my husband was there.
Right.
And the vibrator is just like the raft. It's a tool to enhance the experience. It's not replacing the person.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. We are thrilled to have you. You can find Dr. Mintz at drlaurimintz.com. Please order her book, Becoming Clitorate. It's fantastic. And thank you very much for joining us. It's been really fun.
Thank you for having me on. It's been fun.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4PLAY. That's 833-4-PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.